Be on top of it. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Housing and Transportation Committee meeting to order. It's Thursday, March 10th, 9:30 a.m. And the first thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance with Carol Moore.
But she's not here.
Not here yet? Okay. Would you like to do it, Elizabeth?
Okay, if everybody will stand. Okay, let's begin. I pledge
God, invisible,
with liberty,
liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And where is Linda?
Oh, Linda's not here either.
She said she was going to be on, so.
I can.
I'm right here. I was muted because the gardener's out there making noise.
Oh, thank you.
Glad I've been here. Okay, we want to do the roll call. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Thank you. I'm here. Denise Barnes. Is Denise on yet?
She said she was coming, so let's hold off on marking her absent.
Okay. Elizabeth is present.
Right.
Helen Cameron.
Present.
She's present. Amelia Castro. No? Okay, I'll hold off a minute on her. Jerry Chang is here.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
He's coming in late. He's got another meeting.
Juno Kim.
I think he's muted.
Yes, he's muted.
Juno, he's muted.
Oh, there he is. I see him. He's present.
How about, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Juno.
That's good. Thank you.
Carol Moore, has she joined yet?
No.
Okay. Sandy.
Here, present.
Thanks, present. And Cynthia Thacker. Great. I'll leave the others blank so they may join later. But I believe we have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
What about Vin? Vin Tran.
I'm here. I'm on. Hello.
Okay. He's not on my current list. Is he now a member?
No, they're not committee members. They're members of Office on Aging that are just kind of joining here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you hear me, but I'm on.
We hear you, Vin.
I see you. Hi, Vin.
Hi.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'm in a mute because the gardener's blowing out there.
Yeah, unless you're speaking, everyone should really mute themselves now. Number four is the action item, AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the claimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So I'll need a motion from the floor, and then we'll have to vote on it.
Okay, I move that we have the meeting.
Okay, great. Thanks. Elizabeth moved, and then we need a second.
Second.
Who was that?
Charlene.
Okay, thank you, Charlene. All right.
Yeah.
And that's
really a no fault is a 60 day.
I've gone ahead and mute.
Okay, thank you. I was gonna say, I don't know what we're talking about now. Okay, so we've got a motion, and then we need to vote on this, right?
Correct.
Yes. So you want to take the Desiree?
Yes. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes? Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron?
Yes.
Amelia Castro? Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez? Juno Kim?
Yes.
Carol Moore? Sandy Stang?
Yes.
And Cynthia Thacker? I can't tell if she's muted. Cynthia?
She was on earlier.
Okay. That is still a majority vote.
Okay, great, thank you. What were you saying, Elizabeth?
Her name's right there. It just shows that she's muted.
Yeah. All right, number five is the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Update by Jeanette, Community Services Office on Aging.
Jeanette is actually running a little late and she asked that we move her item until she arrives.
Okay, great.
I can present that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great, thank you.
I'm Sandy.
Yes.
Sandy, I am sorry. I had to run out. I have contractors here, so I apologize for missing what I had missed, but I'm sorry. I'll keep myself. When I'm here, I will do this, but when I mute myself, I go away for a second.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Hello, everybody. All right, the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program has been providing, of course, the seniors with trips. We have saved a lot of the cost on the trips in regards to the mileage. So based on the mileage presented today, Area 1 has trips provided for Area 1, 2,436 with the average cost of $51.44 and the average length. And these trips are about 6.8 miles. The cost per mile would be including PPE, cleaning supplies, any type of personal protective equipment would be $8.46. Area 2, 2,325 trips provided with the round trip cost of $45.79, average length of 8.45 miles, and $5.42 cost per mile. And then the last group would be Area 3 of 4,160,000 miles with the average cost of $43.04 with the approximate average trip of 5.09 miles at $8.45. Is there any questions or concerns that may have been in question in regards to the statistics that has been provided?
No questions from anyone?
Right. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Sandy, I just wanted to comment that it appears then that based on last months and the month previous month that the transportation is inching up slowly. We're getting people out and about more and more every month. So thank you for this report.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that is a good sign. We don't want people staying home for no reason. Any other questions from anybody? Comments? Okay.
Hi, Ellen. Helen has something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Helen, go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering if we have an objective of the number of miles at which point we might offer additional resources to people to do more than just go to a medical appointment? Has there been any discussion about what that threshold might be? Or perhaps that's a conversation for this committee.
That could be a conversation for this committee. I think transportation to like senior centers would be applicable if it could be provided to go to like different senior centers in different parts of the city.
Yeah, I think in terms of our goals overall, that would be a good discussion for this committee to have whether we might be able to add that, because we're seeing the impact on mental health issues of lack of socialization. And as our senior centers open up, I think that might be an additional resource that we could provide to our senior populations without incurring a great amount of additional cost.
The only thing, Helen, is we have other vehicles that provide transportation right now to the senior center. So are you saying add this to the non-emergency?
I don't know what the impact of that program is. So it's lack of information, Sandy.
Oh, okay. So most of the senior centers work with the access bus. So the seniors can get there, and that's, I believe, 50 cents a ride. And they'll take you to the senior center and pick you up from the senior center for another 50 cents.
And is that
and going to park? Going to Park has their own service that you just call and they'll bring you there. So certain cities have all of this already. Yeah.
Each city could be a little different, but many of the cities use the access bus. And I think that's why they've kept this separate for the non-emergency medical transportation, because there's probably a lot of people that need it for that purpose.
That cost seems a lot more efficient also.
Yes, yes.
And then the other possibility is in the mental health community, we have wellness centers, and I don't believe transportation is necessarily provided to those. So maybe something to, I always think when we're talking about funded programs at the county level, and Susan can probably chime in on all of this, you know, sometimes we have siloed responses and we don't necessarily, our clients don't know about what's available.
That's very true, but that's a good point, Helen. Maybe we should ask, Susan has her hand up. Maybe we should ask at some point if, mental health type trips should be added, or maybe they already are on the senior non-emergency. I don't know.
Well, they do have a separate funding source for it, but which of those sources is the most efficient way to get people to where they need to go? I think that's the broader conversation about seniors.
Okay. Susan, did you have a comment?
Yes, realizing that I'm a guest to your meeting today, but I did notice something that I just wanted to bring to the group's attention. You know, while I was working in the county, we created regional service planning areas. And I noticed that in this program, we have three areas that we're talking about. And so service planning area one looks like north. Service planning area two looks like a little bit of central and a little bit of south. And then service area three is central, and it's partial cities. And this could be, you know, contingent on how your funding works. And so certainly when Helen talks about the coordination of resources, that was primarily the reason why we created the regional service planning areas, is so that north, central, and south would be able to coordinate and apply county programs with nonprofit programs and other sorts of resources. But having it be by cities allows the cities to coordinate, you know, with these different sectors in our community so that we can have a seamless coordination. When you go by Board of Supervisors districts, and I'm assuming that's what districts are referencing here, then you get a portion of this city, a portion of that city. And as you know, we just finished redistricting, and then that changes again. And so when you talk about regional service planning areas, the north being 13 cities, the central being 9, and then all the others below are the south service planning area, it's easier to coordinate that way. So I just want to make the observation that this program is not broken up that way, and many of the other programs are. I wasn't sure if there was a specific reason for that or whether it could be changed in the future.
Thank you. Do you have any comments on that, Vin?
No comments. Actually, it's very informative with how the senior centers actually have a way around for the seniors to get to their centers, actually. So it was actually very informative for me.
Okay. Any other comments for Vin on the senior non-emergency medical transportation? Okay, looks like we've covered all that then. Next thing on the agenda is our presentation, Project Home Key by Susan Price, Assistant City Manager, City of Costa Mesa. And I forget who was introducing you.
I am.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you. I had a minute.
That's okay, Chair. It's actually my privilege and honor to introduce Ms. Price. She needs no introductions. Everyone in this group and in this county knows Susan, but in case you don't, she has really been involved in the issue of homelessness for, this has been her life's work. And going back to her work at the county, she has been named as our homeless czar in the past, and she has paved the way for most of us here to move forward with homelessness. In the city of Costa Mesa, we are very proud to call her our own. She joined us in 2020. She led the charge to move from a temporary shelter at the lighthouse to our permanent shelter at the bridge. And we're just so privileged to know Susan. Her leadership, her style, and her sense of humor in the midst of many crises goes noticed all the time. So thank you for sharing your time with us today, Susan. We're so glad to have you.
Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you for that introduction. Charlene Ashendorf, such a pleasure to be here with you all today, talking about something that's always near and dear to my heart. You know, as I spent, close to 25 years trying to solve homelessness and building systems, one of the key things, and we're here to talk about Home Key, and so I want to kind of give a little background and history as to kind of how Home Key came to be. Certainly back in the mid 90s, I did my first motel conversion in the city of Long Beach. It was called the Palace Hotel. And it was a hotel that had a lot of residents that basically had eviction histories or weren't able to get into housing apartments of their own. And so a lot of people in our cities live in motels for a multitude of reasons, but primarily there's a general lack of access to housing, usually an economic reason. And so the first motel conversion that I did, it was kind of interesting because it was it's about 24 units. And at that time, it was back in the 90s, our council didn't want, they were concerned, but didn't want to serve a homeless population per se. And so they said, let's do it for transitional age youth. And some of you might know that is one of the more difficult populations, and they are a homeless population, but we didn't share that with the council member at the time. We said, yes, we'll do a motel conversion for youth, and met all of his objectives in his district. And certainly we know that transitional age youth are among the homeless population. And so, you know, just really providing education to our community about who experiences homelessness. It could be anyone of any type, of any demographic. So it's not for any one population. So it's not a homogenous group, I guess is what I'm saying. So in the bottom of the Palace Hotel was two storefronts. And the youth created businesses in these two storefronts, and one of them was called I Cracked. And what it was a, you know, when you drop your phone and it shatters into a million pieces, they were fixing people's phones and they named it I Cracked. And so it was fascinating to see the youth kind of take ownership, not only of their housing, but of the retail below and create businesses. And they were just across the street from the Long Beach Community College. And so many of them became students there. And it was just a really successful model, my first experience in doing that. So flashing forward to 2016, when I came to the city or to the County of Orange, and I did a 90-day assessment on homelessness. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that document. It contained 28 recommendations. One of those recommendations was to convert motels to housing. And with that, my rationale behind that was in a housing crisis, consider we have in many of our cities, we have motels that are not being used by visitors and tourists, as I just described. They are being used for housing for folks, but motel rooms don't have kitchens. And so it's even more expensive to live in a motel because you have to, you know, eat out or get food outside of your residence. And it actually costs more to live in a motel. And so for me, coming into the Civic Center in downtown Santa Ana and seeing the encampment there and having the responsibility for clearing that, you know that people that are experiencing homelessness often feel a sense of isolation when they get housed. If they get housed in an apartment by themselves somewhere, they get feeling a little bit isolated from the group that they have relied on in their homelessness. You know, living out on the streets, they rely on each other for basic survival and needs. And so one of the first motel conversions that happened after I landed in Orange County was the Orchard. How many of you are familiar with the Orchard in the city of Santa Ana? The importance of that project cannot be underestimated. What we were able to do is take a population that was not running towards us when we were offering resources. They were running away from us. And when we created the Orchard, we were able to place a number of people from the encampment in the Civic Center into the Orchard, and they were able to maintain their relationships with each other while being housed in a congregate setting. Now they have borne the term non-congregate shelter. If you've heard that term, you know, non-congregate shelter is becoming the new norm and actually a best practice. Meaning that if you have a shelter that has, you know, 60 to 80 people in it, all in one place, like a dormitory, you actually will have some folks that don't feel comfortable with that congregate living environment. And of course, COVID probably spurred this on even further, because many of our shelters across the county have had to reduce our census and our occupancy in half, because of social distancing requirements and public health masking and everything of that nature. So it further propelled the need and the desire to create non-congregate housing environments. And obviously in the crisis, swift development. So of course, I had left the County of Orange and come over to the city of Costa Mesa. I got stolen in a highway robbery. I was not seeking to leave the county. I just, I was compelled by the city of Costa Mesa. And I know that they needed me in a time that was very relevant for me to be here. And so I couldn't be happier. I think I made the right decision, but I continue to work with the county. I obviously have been in contact with them on the regular. I've also been in contact with the governor's office over the course of the years and given them my laundry list of things that needed to happen in order for our state to end homelessness. And one of those obviously is motel conversions. So what you saw roll out both in the County of Orange and in the state is room key. I was working with Frank Kim at the time and still maintained close contact with him, the CEO for the county, on what are called sprung structures. Anybody been to Huntington Beach, they were able to launch one of the four sprung structures that Frank Kim bought. There's three more that haven't been put up yet. But the one that they put up there was to create a quick emergency shelter. But they also did Project Room Key. Because of COVID, you had non-congregate sheltering environments with motels, and it worked well. It was brilliant. Because that congregate environment could no longer be used. So, you know, sometimes a crisis creates an opportunity, right? The Room Key program, anybody watches the Board of Supervisors, you know that Supervisor Lisa Bartlett jumped right out of the gate and said, we need to convert these motels, Room Keys, to permanent supportive housing. She jumped on board with that agenda, that 90-day assessment, one of those 28 recommendations, and said, wait, we're doing Room Key. It's working really well. We can do Home Key. We had Project Tool Belt, right? Which was to help people from the motels get into housing while we had them as a captive environment, to be able to get people stable, not just short-term, but long-term. So again, I say, in a housing crisis, you can flip a motel fairly quickly. I've got Helen Cameron on the call. She can explain this to anyone. It's super fast. It's an existing building. The challenges, of course, on converting a motel to housing has to do with plumbing and electrical. When you take a hotel room and you put a kitchen in, there's plumbing involved, and that can be somewhat expensive in some of these older motels. Not many of them have kitchens, but anyway, I was thrilled to see the state put out Home Key dollars. Huge amount of money, $50 million. I think that's a lot of money. It's probably not. So $50 million. And first round Home Key, City of Stanton jumped right out in front with three motels that they wanted to convert on Beach Boulevard fundamentally. Only two of them went into the first round, both got funded, improved their community in a snap. It was a success from the very beginning. Round two just completed. January 31st was of that. And one of the Stanton motels that didn't make it in the first round was put into the second round. Anaheim also put forward, I believe, one. Huntington Beach put up one, and Costa Mesa was working on two. So our city council allocated, $3.5 million up front to locally match two motel projects in Costa Mesa. One was the Motel 6 and the other was the Mesa Motel. Motel 6 was an 88-unit motel, and the operator, Community Development Partners, the same group that did the Orchard. So, you know, Kyle Payne. And, you know, since I've come to Costa Mesa, cover your ears, Charlene. Since I came to Costa Mesa, developers have come out of the woodwork. They know that I'm here and they know that they can get something done. So we're seeing some really good progress here in Costa Mesa. So with the Motel 6, Kyle Payne was able to meet the deadline of January 31st. And it's kind of exciting that I'm on this call here today talking about it, because we're going to find out next week. Within the next 8 to 10 days, we will be notified of our award for the Motel 6. Couldn't be happier. I'm very, very confident that we'll get this award. Now, the Mesa Motel didn't make it in the second round because it's waiting on some funding awards that don't align. with the time frame of HomeKey. HomeKey is a difficult thing. Any of you work on HomeKey, what's difficult about it is that the state will give you money for acquisition and rehab, but you have to come up with like 5 years of operations. You have to show that money up front in order to apply. And basically a lot of stars need to align in a short period of time in order to even submit an application. So I'm thankful that Huntington was able to do that. And in fact, the awards came out. What was the date on this? I guess February 16th, the City of Huntington Beach award was made. So we're hopeful we'll hear our award next week. But let me tell you a little bit about the Motel 6 because it's relating to the seniors. So it's an 88-unit Motel 6 on Newport Boulevard. And what they submitted for was 40 units of HomeKey. So that leaves another, 48 units available that the applicant has committed to provide senior housing, senior affordable housing that's not even HomeKey. But the thing that's good about this is that HomeKey provides for an expedited development. It's by right. It doesn't go through a lot of processes that the city would have for entitlement and conditional use permits that could take months, if not years. It expedites all of that. It also provides a waiver for CEQA, which is also takes a lot of time off the development and the rapid implementation of housing. So once you turn in your application by January 31st, you get an award within 45 days. Then you have 8 months to renovate the property and flip it into housing. Not hard to do, quite frankly. Boom, 40 units of a permanent supportive housing for those with mental health conditions. In the case of this project, mental health conditions, 10 units. Veterans, I think it was 20 units, and the other just general, those experiencing homelessness. Now, as I said, because they got to expedite the project under the HomeKey rules to exempt CEQA, to go by right and not have to go through all the city entitlement and CUP processes, they're able to move quickly. So the 48 units for seniors is falling under that same criteria because of the acquisition for HomeKey. Everybody follow that. So 48 units at 30%, 50%, and 60% AMI, area median income. These are deep, affordable units for seniors in Costa Mesa, and we are defining seniors as 62 and up. I think people define seniors differently, but that is how we are defining seniors for this project. The Mesa Motel, although it missed this round, we all know there's going to be a round 3, and the investment from the state is huge. We hope the Mesa Motel, which is, I think, 46 units, will circle back and be included in the following round. We're not giving up. Some of you know I don't give up on anything. So this will happen in our city. And we are super thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'm like a kid in a candy store coming to Costa Mesa because I really enjoy being in a city government with one of the best, if not the best, city councils I've ever worked for in my career. This city council in Costa Mesa, very supportive, very progressive. They want to do the right thing. They want to balance their community and address all of the needs that we can in a scalable approach that addresses the needs of our residents first. So that's why we have 70-bed shelter. We get the HomeKey program. I'm also running 30 units of permanent supportive housing on 18th and James Street. I don't know if you're all aware of that. And looking at the Fairview Development Center on the horizon. So great stuff happening in our city. And I'm going to stop talking and see if there are any questions for me.
I have a question. How does a homelessness community figure out how to get those resources into those home key, turnkey places that you have mentioned?
Can you repeat the first part? How do
the homeless community actually get the resources to get into those communities that were built up for the stages that you've mentioned?
Well, you know, in the case of, and I can speak for Costa Mesa, I can't speak for Stanton, but in our case, we have our homeless shelter. We also have a very robust street outreach team. And so far to date, in the last 2 years, we've housed 205 people from the streets and from the shelter in our community. You know, having these additional 40 units, it just makes our jobs easier, you know, to be able to connect people to the resources. Now, of course, all of us countywide are using the regional coordinated entry system, and coordinated entry provides priority for the cities where the housing is located first, and then they go to the regional service planning area next, and then it's countywide. So there's a fairly robust system in place for street outreach connection to the housing through the coordinated entry system. The one thing that we continue to struggle with, and just to kind of bring this forward to you all as a gap in our Orange County system, is that there aren't a lot of places where a homeless person can walk in and receive assistance in that moment. Because a lot of the programs that have been developed under the Catholic Worker case and, you know, in this whole 5-year experience that I've been through, a lot of it's not walk up. Communities are not as comfortable with homeless folks walking into a center to receive help. So a lot of it is having to be done by street outreach contacts. And while that might seem challenging, if you talk to an outreach worker, they tend to know everybody quite well. We've gotten pretty good at doing what we do, but it's kind of virtual. There aren't specific addresses where homeless people can get help on their own.
I have a question. May I ask my question? I'm sorry, Stacy. Okay, my question is, there are been statistics and stuff about, you know, people being placed in homeless and then they don't work out. What is your turnaround, or what are you doing to, because sometimes just housing them is not the answer. They need treatment, of course. And I know a few people that have worked with homeless that put them in these homes and 2 days, 3 days later, they're out again, because that's not just necessarily their fix is a home. Can you tell me any of your length of, I mean, are you having that problem, or are you seeing that you place them and they leave it within a certain amount of time, or are you choosing the people that really are homeless that are don't have mental issues?
Well, I think our homeless population, you know, anybody who's homeless is experiencing a mental health condition just by the sheer fact that they're homeless.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but so mental, like drug problems and stuff, I mean. Whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah, to your point, and, you know, I'll say to you that our retention rate in permanent housing is above 92%. Across the board, across the county, anybody who gets housed, over 92% are going to stay there and be there for the foreseeable future. You know, there are people that don't make it in housing, certainly. We're also seeing trends of people that, you know, have spent many years homeless. You put them into housing, and within 2 years, they actually pass away. That is something that happens quite frequently, because when they get into housing, they finally let their guard down after years of surviving on the streets, and, you know, medical issues take hold and they end up passing away. That is something that we experience. But, you know, the demographics of homelessness from 2015 to now have dramatically changed. The tributaries to homelessness on the behavioral health side, from early release programs, from criminal justice to the mental health system being fundamentally an outpatient system, You see the governor working down the list. You know, I feel like he's working down my list that I gave him 2 years ago on, you know, people with mental health conditions that need assistance sooner. And then on the addictions treatment side, I mean, the fentanyl, that's 2015 to now as well. The fentanyl is killing people. The alarming rate the sheriff quoted was 1,100% increase in fentanyl deaths in our county. There's not a higher statistic anywhere that I've seen in my career than what the devastation of fentanyl is doing in our communities. But regardless, you don't have the time to hear all the things that I have to say about that. But I will say to you that the behavioral health challenges are steep. And, you know, what we see from the state is that they're passing a lot of funding down into homelessness. I would prefer that they take one third to homelessness and put the other third in behavioral health, mental health, recovery systems, and reentry programs, because all of those things don't get solved in a homeless shelter.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. I see Denise has her hand up.
Thank you. Susan, I am so excited to see you. I'm so grateful that
Hi, Denise. Are
still around and being just as devoted and love the people of our community and our county. I have a question regarding permanent supportive housing in balance with the shelters. So yeah. I know Kramer was originated back in 2015. We never got the full 300 beds. And we know that we just recently in the last 2 years have a permanent supportive housing, well, several in Anaheim. But what should be the balance as cities move forward with their shelters? What is the balance for permanent supportive housing? Because if we don't continue that chain, how will they leapfrog to the next stage of supportive housing and then being able to thrive to the next stage? I've heard that people have been in Kramer for years, and I just shudder at thinking that they're still not getting continuity of care. And I'm going to call it that because every citizen is entitled to continuity of care under even medical supervision. Can you speak of that?
Well, you know, and I'll just share something candidly about my discussions with my friend Judge Carter, in that Judge Carter was pushing on and leveraging the court to get cities to create shelters. When I started in the county, there were no shelters for individuals, literally in a county of 3 million people, not a single shelter, except for the winter shelter, which was seasonal. To date, we have 2,200 shelter beds in Orange County as a result of our efforts. Something is needed in South, not a very big one, but something, 60, 70 beds in South Spa. Central, I think, is good. And North, maybe a little bit more shelters, maybe one more. You know, Fullerton, when I worked with them on theirs, I was like, Fullerton, do something different than what Buena Park and Placentia did. So they did, you know, recuperative care. Because we don't all just need shelters. There's a whole population that won't go to the shelter, period. And now that we've got congregate shelters, you know, rethinking this and looking at what COVID has taught us, the non-congregate shelters are actually better. So the interim use motel, a home key, the interim use, there's a place for that in our system. But shelters will only be successful if there's system flow from outreach to shelter to housing. Housing has been the thing that has lagged. You mentioned people, you know, Kramer is a 200 bed shelter, by the way. It's not 300. It's a 200 bed shelter. It was the first one. Well, Courtyard, I think, was first. But that was, oh my gosh. So glad that's done. But yeah, when they walked me through that bus terminal and told me I was going to create a shelter there, I was kind of shocked. But we did it. And it lasted a little longer than I would have liked. but we got them into Yale. So I think we need to, and what I said to Judge Carter is you've got to give credit to the cities that are creating the housing, because we got to have both. We need everything in the system. We need a little bit of everything, because every person is different. Everyone's got a different story and a different solution to their personal homelessness. And so it's not just a cookie cutter approach of everybody needs shelter and then housing. Some go straight to housing. Some need shelter. But to your point, Denise, we've got some folks in Costa Mesa, a very small group that feels comfortable and that the shelter is their housing solution. They're comfortable, they're safe, and they're afraid to be housed individually in an isolated apartment by themselves. So sometimes that home key approach is a better way, because they can be housed in their own unit, but live next door to their friend, their support network. And so we have to consider, you know, balancing the resources with the needs. We're a little wobbly in our system, with the shelter system being kind of the fat in the middle and the bottleneck to the housing. Orange County is an expensive place to live. The land's expensive, the housing's expensive, and we don't have a lot of single room occupancy housing stock. Most of our housing is single family residences, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, patios and porches. It's Orange County. We don't have little one bedroom units or singles. That's the gap that the motels are filling for us in our rental stock across this. And certainly Orange County has a history with motels. I remember the early days of my career with the picket sign on the 28 day rule on motels. I don't even remember when that was, back in 1997, 98, the Motel Children's Story on PBS. So we've come a long way in Orange County, and I've been here the entire time. So it's been fun and a privilege to be a part of it.
Thank you. Other questions? I don't see any other hands, but maybe I'm not looking right. So my question to you, Susan, would be, how do we go forward? I know you've done some great things, we've had some progress. But of course, we always still have the same challenges, and we always have homeless that we can't solve? Let's put it that way.
Well, you're asking me that question. I'm going to say it is solvable, and we know how to do it.
Okay.
You know, definitely we know how to solve homelessness. Unfortunately, it won't get solved at the city level or at the community level. There's a legislative piece to this, and there's a legislative source that needs to be addressed. And so, you know, that's why I work with the state. And I was just telling somebody the other day, it's time for me to call the governor's office again and refresh my perspectives with them, because we're on the right track, but we've got a couple other things we need to do. And so if you saw that thing of the governor trying to address mental health, that's one piece. But we need to provide an oversight body for the recovery system so that we can get the opiate fentanyl issue under control. That's really critical. And people are calling that a homeless problem. It's not a homeless problem. It's a drug problem.
Okay. Thank you. Helen has her hand up.
Thank you, Susan. What a great overview of all the challenges and opportunities that we have. Would you like to comment on the cost differences between providing housing versus shelter? Because I know as a city, cities typically struggle with that.
I don't have numbers prepared for you. I will tell you that in my dialogues with all 34 cities, I don't believe it's feasible for us to create a shelter in every city. I don't think it's a good idea to do so. It's a huge investment. Costa Mesa invested $11 million to create a 70 bed shelter. $11 million for a city of 113,000 people. That's a small city. Now, the first city to create a shelter in Orange County is Laguna Beach. Anybody doesn't know, look up the Friendship Shelter. You can see from the top roof, the ocean, beautiful. That is the first shelter in Orange County operated by a city. It's a huge investment. That's why we leveraged our relationship with the city of Newport Beach to partner with us on 20 beds at the 70 bed shelter. That's why we negotiated the deal in the North Service Planning Area to get 13 city councils to sign on to one MOU. It's unheard of to create a number of shelter beds. That's how it's ridiculously expensive to build and operate the shelters at this time in our lives. Now, remember on housing though, and this is another sticking point that I have that drives me nuts, is that in 2009, the cities lost redevelopment money. We lost redevelopment funding. Not just the money, we also lost the capacity within our organizations in the community development and housing development staffing, which was all funded by redevelopment. In the city of Costa Mesa, on the second floor, you go down the hallway to development services. It's development and economic services. You look to the left, you see a marker on the door that says community development. It doesn't exist. Redevelopment, we lost that capacity internally within our cities. And so funding for housing and staffing technical assistance and ability have been eroded. So a lot of the housing development is actually being done by private developers and nonprofit developers that the city is in partnership with. That's the only way housing gets developed now in 2022 is because of those partnerships. But the funding, it's funny that the state has a huge surplus. Y'all know why the state has a huge surplus? Because the cities don't have redevelopment. The prisons have been closed. The state prisons are gone. The state mental health institutions are closed. They're saving a ton of money. It's all been decentralized. That's why the Fairview Development Center is being closed, because developmental disabled populations are now being housed in group home environments. And the mental health institutions were closed so that mental health people could be treated in a community-based model. And in some cases, we've had some success. In other cases, it's been a complete failure. So that's why I say to you, Helen, that legislatively, we've got some work to do at the state level. We all have SB2 money, which was recently passed for what is the real estate transaction fee. So cities are getting direct allocations. In Costa Mesa, our direct allocation was $525,000. That is not an exchange for redevelopment. And real estate transaction fees have actually gone up. So now we're getting like $830,000, but it's all contingent on compliance with the housing element. So, you know, the state has put in a lot of enforcement mechanisms for everyone to comply with the housing element requirements. However, the funding and the staffing no longer exist in our communities, at least in the city governments. So it's an uphill climb, and we appreciate our development community for leaning in and meeting us halfway, knowing that we don't have that internal capacity that we once had.
Jean's on.
If I could, a quick question, Sandy.
Yes, go ahead.
Susan, I drives me up a wall every time I hear that the state has this surplus. Number one, it's not a surplus. It's our money. It's our taxes.
Yes. Yes.
Which they don't need. So why do they keep taking it rather than let us manage our own money? And then we can do the things that you're talking about.
Right.
Building those facilities, the mental health facilities. The state has other priorities, and they're going to send their money to those new programs. So it's not a matter of having enough. It's a matter. We don't have a funding problem. We have a spending problem. They want to spend on the wrong priorities. And then and how they can ignore homeless is huge in our state, but they have effective blinders on. Okay, I'm off my band, my soapbox.
Nice to see you, Gene.
You too, Susan.
You're making a statement. I thought you had a question.
No, who can argue? I'm just glad to see we're getting there. It's unfortunate we have so many barriers that we have to bang our head against. And it really is all about incentive. You're not going to get builders to build when they can make money off traditional housing and they make a fortune. So right. Somehow we've got to make an incentive to buy or to build affordable or low income. I think Herb Linda's done a good job of building affordable, not affordable, low income, which are very nice. And they're not, you know, everybody thinks that if you build low income, you're going to build a ghetto or a, you know, a slum. That's not true. That's up to your city government. We make it, and Costa Mesa same way, we make it so what we build is going to be nice. I don't care if it's a doghouse, it's going to be nice. So it's not, we don't build, you know, bogus places. So, but that's the will of your city government.
Exactly. And city governments are definitely taking on the lion's share of the responsibility in the end.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's really challenging because we don't have the capital for it. We've got the will, you know, we've got some strong city councils in Orange County. And, you know, I've watched the tidal wave. I've been a part of this tidal wave. I've been riding it too. I was partially responsible for creating it.
I've done a great job. So I wish we'd get more support from the state, which we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, well, lip service.
I'm just not going to give up, Gene. I'm not.
I'll keep banner my head against the wall too. I'm with you.
Okay. Oh, it's great to see you guys.
Thank you.
We'll keep up the fight.
For Susan? Doesn't look like we
did. All right.
Good presentation. Thank you for bringing us up to date. Good information. A lot of things that I didn't know. I really appreciate it. It was fabulous.
Thank you. Nice to see you all.
Thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We'll see you again for an update later on.
Sure, call me anytime. You know where to find me. At least Charlene knows where to find me.
Yeah, Charlene got you. Very
she
good.
Got me on a short leash.
Thanks again. It was fabulous.
Take care, you guys. I'm going to go ahead and log off.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Charlene. That was very good. I haven't met her before. Excellent presentation.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Very good. Next we go to number 7, which is chair items. No new business. We need some speakers for transportation. We've had a lot on housing. I know Jean's working on one for, is it April?
I think it's April, and that's already lined up. I haven't given you the name yet because they're waiting to see who's going to fill that position, but we have one. We'll have one, and I'll get the name to you.
Okay, great. And then Denise? Did you say you have yours locked up for?
I thought I was penciled in for April. Are you sure on the time slot that my name wasn't assigned for April?
Maybe John.
You know, I could be May, Denise.
Did
let
you
me
already
check.
Get yours? Okay.
Yeah, John Pointer it will be coming and apprising us of legislation regarding housing and transportation, what's in the pipeline, what's already been accomplished. He said he'll switch.
But when is my date?
I think Gene, you were May, and I think Denise was April. Is that a problem for you, Gene?
No, I just need to know when. Remember, I think this was the one. I'm on so many of these little subcommittees. Is this the one that we wanted to hear the options for TCA and OCTA for the toll roads? Okay, So I got two people lined up for that. So I need to be solid when I told them. I thought it was, well, gosh, guys. I
think May 12th. And I think Denise was
April.
Yeah, it seems to me I thought it was May 12th too. So.
Yep. That's it.
I think you're
May 12th. Okay, I'm good with that. I'll stay on May 12th.
Thank you, Gene.
Okay. So So I can put it on the schedule. Denise, what information do you have so far for the April presentation?
It'll be John Pointer.
Okay.
And he is our representative for the California CLS.
Okay.
California Senior Legislative. It's CSL.
CSL, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what should I put down for the topic?
He will just update us on newest legislation signed in the governor's budget.
Okay.
And that would be under housing and transportation on both those subjects.
Both. Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then Jean will put you, I'm pretty sure you are May.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll check with my folks, make sure that's what they have too. So.
Okay. And then let me know as soon as you find out the presenter so I can put it on the schedule. And then do we have anybody with an idea for June, or we could go around table and talk to everybody too.
Okay, we're dark in June.
Oh, we are, that's right. Thank you. So it'd be July. So we need somebody for July. Yes.
When the, probably, I think the, if I'm wrong, the results for the May, what do you call it? Help me here, the focus groups that we did, or the aging presentations,
yes.
Won't that be done in May? So maybe we should talk about it in July.
Say that again, did we do for a focus group?
Okay. The aging, all of our work that we did in February for finding topics will be presented.
Goals.
So won't that, Desiree, isn't that done in May? And when we want to talk about addressing the results? I'm just putting out there something.
I'm sorry, which goals are we referring to? The
ones we just worked on as a whole for the supervisors, our goal on aging.
I'm not sure if that's when we discuss them again. I can double check with Erica if that helps.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you.
So what you're saying,
I'm just thinking that when they do come out, would probably be we'll have enough time to talk about them. Maybe we can still do it with the speaker, but my thought is we do.
So you're saying, Cynthia, that we review the goals in July?
Well, when they come out, that we're going to be presenting them, right, Jean? I mean,
yes.
We do present them to the thing. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe
to the supervisors, yes.
I'm sure we can go over that, but I don't see that would take up the whole time for a presentation. Unless somebody else disagrees. Okay. And then I just put down the reminder under old business. So we're responsible for goal one, housing for all ages and stages. And then you know there's all the sub points that go with it. And then goal five, affording aging. So I think we'll do next is the roundtable announcements, and then I'm going to ask everybody, unless you already are planning a speaker or gotten a speaker, to tell me what you're going to do about getting us a speaker. For we need July, August, September, October, and November. So let me see here. Let's start with... Charlene just got a speaker, but Charlene, it's your turn to with the round table. Any comments you want to make about
today
or any questions?
I just want to share with our committee that at the end of last month, I was invited to be the quote keynote speaker at the Costa Mesa Senior Center's roundtable. It was held virtually, but it was open to all of our seniors, whether you're a member of the Senior Center or not. And I was just really pleased to be able to share a little bit about who SCAC is, what we do, and as far as another speaker for housing and transportation, I will put my thinking cap on and try to come up with someone for summer or fall.
Great, thank you. And did you have many questions on your talk that they were asking about us as a group when you were explaining who we were?
It was just there, not surprising. It was, the feedback was, oh, we didn't know there was such an organization. It's actually, they asked me to come back again late summer because they want to hear more about what we're doing, especially as it relates to the goals that we were talking about earlier this year. So it's just getting the word out there and public awareness, quite frankly.
Yeah, and the reason I asked that was, I hear that from my friends all the time. Never heard of your group. What do you do? Okay, thank you.
May I address that for a second? That is why we have the senior liaisons. And they are supposed to be contacting every month the senior centers and make them aware. So I'm kind of surprised when I hear that, because even though I'm new at this as a senior center, my goal is to, contact. But each of us been assigned one, and we should be contacting them and telling them this. So, you know, let's think about, you know, and I'm trying to make a new survey or whatever to help the new people, but this should be not a problem because we should be addressing, I mean, we should be talking to them every month, at least once a month.
Well, we're talking to the leader of the senior center, but we're talking about the average person out on the street. So,
yeah, but those leaders are supposed to relay to their participants in their senior center. So maybe that's where the downfall comes.
That's where the downfall is.
Supposed you know to what, though, guys? There's not a group I'm in that doesn't have a problem with mass communication, including city council. I can go through town and say, hey, do you know who your council are? No. So, you know, it's not a matter of getting the word. I mean, we flood the airwaves. We're out and about. We're on TV. And still people will say, oh, really? No, I don't know who they are.
Well, Cynthia, here's a thought for you that would be my suggestion going forward. Okay, we get the information to the leader at the senior center, but how can we get that leader to get our information out to their people? Maybe we need something. I don't know what it is. I'd have to think about it. But maybe
perhaps it's just providing a simple statement that they can, first of all, put in their newsletter.
I mean, there you go.
The seniors love getting their mail. They love reading their newsletters. So that may be, and if we communicate the same message throughout all of the senior centers, that could be a start.
That's a great idea.
I have been
right. Every center has a newsletter and they do read it because they want to see what the activities are. So you're right. Some kind of a statement to put in there that would be uniform. I agree.
Perfect. And Thank you, because I have been working with Elaine to try to figure out something, and this is perfect. Okay. So we'll put together. Thank you for the suggestion, because I do know that we need to have a reason to contact. It always helps, or it does help. So thank you very much. I'm glad we brought this up.
And I think, Cynthia, the other issue is that for a lot of the seniors who have been removed from the senior center for many months, it's just getting them back into their place where they're comfortable. So it's kind of like rebuilding, if you will. It's frustrating, but that's what we're doing.
That's why I'm trying to do this, because of that issue that I've already thought about. So thank you. I will hopefully by the general, not this general meeting, but we will work on something.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very good idea. All right. Linda Barcelona. You're still with us?
I'm here. I'm sorry, I had to step away to use the ladies' room.
Oh, I'm sorry, Denise has her hand.
I just wanted to leap off the, sorry, Linda, but I wanted to reiterate about the last thing we were talking about, how actually there is literature at the senior centers, like most of the time.
You can also contact your Board of Supervisor who has all the literature from the Office on Aging, face masks, sanitary items. It's incredible, the sources, the little magnets that say Office on Aging with the telephone number in like 5 different languages. Just be aware that when they do publish in their newsletter that it's at least in 2 different languages, if in fact you don't want to exclude anybody. But I have just can't believe all the resources at the Office on Aging that you can get and then pass out to different senior centers, or when you know that there's Meals on Wheels and other things that would help promote our agenda. So those are just more suggestions.
Thank you, Denise. That's really good. That's a good reminder. You're right. They do have a lot of good tools. And there's a lot of people that don't know about the Office on Aging too when I talk to my friends. So we'll go back to, sorry, Linda, your turn.
You're mute, Linda.
Did you go away?
I'm here. I'm here, but I was away when I heard the question. What are you asking me?
We're doing the round table right now.
Okay.
And your turn to have comments, questions, and then also I'm asking each person that hasn't gotten a speaker, can you get us a speaker? And we're looking more for transportation right now because we've had a lot on housing.
Okay, I could probably get my friend Carrie to come in and do transportation for a speaker. The one comment I wanted to make was I'm on the board for the Assistance League of Tustin, and we're doing housing vouchers for emergency housing vouchers. That was a thought that I wanted to tell you when we were listening to our speaker through referrals from the police department, actually, for emergency housing vouchers. For people to stay in hotels. And I love the idea that our speaker was working on refurbishing hotels for homeless people and turning it into housing for the homeless, because that's a win-win for a community to take an old motel that has been run down and is being used for nefarious purposes. We all know those hotels along the edge of old highways where people just hang out. Every community has one. To have those refurbished into proper housing for the homeless was something I brought up like 15 years ago in a committee and was poo-pooed by the county. I'm so glad to hear them doing all of that now. That's all I know that's going on in Tustin right now. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, and then when you get your speaker, will you let me know?
For what month do you want her?
Right now it would be July or August.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thank you. And Denise, did you have anything else to add? I know you just spoke, anything else?
No, I think as I continue to get into different groups, like Jean said, whether it's listening to Zoom meetings from other cities, even those that are independent, there's a lot of information out there. But I think the best way is to hear it from the horse's mouth, and that would be from John Poynter, who is just in the trenches with legislation. But it's also good to go to the senior citizen clubs or senior citizen meetings and actually talk face to face with others that you may not know that they are having these different problems. And your face can mean so many things. It means help, it means hope, it means information. And we got to be out there and show them that who we are and what our hard work is going to them, for them. And that way they will be able to use you as that vessel to get things done. Thank you.
Good point. Very good. Thank you. Elizabeth.
About senior citizen meetings. we Mission Viejo hasn't had one in over 2 years. And I talked with Mark, the director, and that it's needed. And he says, well, we have to hire somebody first. And so there's this thing. So we have Melanie, who is the director of the senior center, but somebody has to be hired to take her position so that she can then be in charge of the senior citizens committee. I find this ridiculous that we can't meet without a new hire.
For a city your size, I don't think I buy that answer. Our Lake Forest, we've been meeting for, our senior advisory board has met, I can't remember, 2 or 3 times since COVID was over. So that makes no sense. Well, I mean, I know that they're telling you, but mm-hmm. I think you guys have to get active over there.
Well, keep in mind, a city that size means that they've pared down quite a bit because of COVID. So a lot of people are gone. Staff is not where it was. So those that are there are doing more jobs with less people.
Right.
And that's probably what they're telling you is that, hey, my plate's full. You know, which of these things do you not want me to do? And then I'll do that one.
Exactly.
That's kind of the response.
You hit it on the net.
Well, we were told the same thing, and we just have less from the city attending our meetings. We used to have more people, and now we have less. And that doesn't matter to us. We're still getting our work done.
Yeah, if you can do it independently without city involvement, then that's the way to go.
You got to get on them.
Right. Like Jean said, if you can do it independently, and I don't see why we can't do it independently.
There you go.
Talk with Mark.
You should be able to, but I don't think they'll let you. You know,
I think you're right.
They have to be involved in everything.
Uh-huh.
Not our city. You want to do it on your own? Go for it.
Really, ours is, oh no, you have to have someone there from the city.
Why?
But I just government, I don't know. That's the way they do it.
You know what you tell them? Say, okay, and would you do a full report on this so we can get a summary each month on what you saw and did? Oh, I don't think I really need to be there after all. Yeah.
Well, we're getting stuff done, so I'm not going to be adversarial with them because we're meeting and we're getting our things done. So I don't have a problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, if you have to cut back and you can't have 3 people here and you can only have 2, I don't know why we need 3 anyway. 2 people is fine. I think that's great plan.
Just go ahead and do it, Elizabeth. You know, don't worry about permission. Then if they try to shut you down, say, we're already doing it. So what's the problem?
Yeah, try that. See what happens.
I think that's a great idea. I like it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They'll get on you about the Brown Act and all that other stuff. But, you know, if you just start meeting
them. Brown Act, they're not elected officials. They don't have to worry about Brown.
Right. Right.
And say, you know what, maybe I need to go to council and discuss with the whole board on this. No, it sounds very confusing to me. Okay. Oh, no, don't do that.
We tried to have a meeting with them and they said, oh, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Why? So if they said Brown, that's ridiculous. Not a Brown Act violation. You're not electeds. That only applies to electeds.
Right.
I don't know. That's what they said.
It sounded good to stop you from doing something, I guess, if you don't look into it.
Mm-hmm. And we weren't even going to do anything big. It was just going to be a little small meeting to go over. So, oh, no, you can't do that. So they meet with us and get what we want, and that's fine with me. Helen, your turn.
I'm trying to unmute. As you probably appreciate, housing is my passion, and ending homelessness is very much part of what I do. And thinking about programming, there are several things that occur to me as we plan for presentations on housing for all ages and stages. I don't think we've had a presentation on the needs of senior veterans. And there is a lot of conversation around that at the moment, particularly with, there's a collaborative that's led by UCI of agencies working with veterans. There's a subcommittee that I'm on in a few minutes of faith leaders educating the community about what's available. Veteran suicide is a huge issue as we talk about veteran services. So perhaps we could have a presentation on veteran housing and how we're approaching ending veteran homelessness. That would be one suggestion. Another one, we did the count of homelessness on the streets of Orange County last week. So perhaps later in the year, we could get a report on what the point in time count showed us about the needs of the community and how it affects seniors. I know in our 2019 point in time count, we had over 660 unhoused seniors. So where are we today and what are the needs for this population? And then the third possibility would be to have a presentation about the needs of unaccompanied women. And Jamboree is working in Santa Ana with Wise Place, which is a program for unaccompanied women. And we are moving to a new development there, which will be a downtown women's center, which will incorporate 47 units of in-studio apartments for unaccompanied homeless women to house them. So we might be able to get Bertil Agassi to do a presentation on that program. And one of the astounding statistics about that is the number of unaccompanied women who are victims of domestic violence. So we have a lot of correlations in those conversations. So there's three suggestions about possible topics.
Very good. When you say unaccompanied women, is that a new term, or I've never heard that before? Is that a new, how do you explain that?
That means someone who doesn't live with a partner or a family member. It's a single woman, and these are among the most vulnerable people. One in three of our homeless population is an unaccompanied woman, and many of them come to the streets because of domestic violence. It's actually a national term. There are national conferences on meeting the needs of unaccompanied women. Okay. So one of my partners with Chapman Law said, though, I don't like that term. I like independent women.
Oh, I like that better too. Unaccompanied, I feel like they're going somewhere on a date or something.
Well, apparently they're not going anywhere on a date.
Not going anywhere on a date, yes. Very, very vulnerable. But so anyway, there's a couple of suggestions.
And not to correct you, but I think we did have a presentation on the veterans homeless. Someone help me. Denise, maybe. Do you remember? I see your hands up.
Oh, no, I had a question.
Oh, okay. But somehow, or maybe it was a part of a presentation, but I remember we did address that. And maybe it was a few years ago, maybe it's before your time, Helen.
Well, probably. Veteran housing is something that as a county, we're working on ending veteran homelessness. And we did have a presentation with Natalie Bui, I think, recently.
If that was it.
Yeah, but because
I remember discussing it, but no, very valid. But very good, all good ideas. And I'd like to see something from the point in time count after they get the information. Very good.
I have a question, Helen. Does that also entail human trafficking? Women that are unaccompanied?
Usually not, because those programs end up once they are out of the human trafficking environment, there are other resources. There are other agencies, like most of our programming, lots of siloing going on.
Okay. So someone off the street would not necessarily be considered for Wise Place. Would that not be a referral for them then?
We will be using coordinated entry, and there will be a preference in Santa Ana for these units, but it will be women only. And there are also specific needs for female veterans. Often they don't want to live in a veteran community because they've also been victims of abuse in the military.
Yes,
FYI to the rest of the group, Grandma's House of Hope, which is in Anaheim, takes in women also. Also, Illumination Foundation is also a great source for women with children. So,
Denise,
right, Helen?
Shelters rather than permanent housing solutions. And if you're in a shelter, you're still homeless.
Yes, I agree.
But Grandma's House of Hope in Anaheim takes in women and children?
Just women. And they have like 8 homes now. They're up to like 8 homes. So they're very good at rotating women out that have found jobs and have gotten back on their feet. But a lot of women, as Helen says, it could be from abuse or other situations. But the lady is stellar. You should look it up. GrandmasHouseOfHope.org. Just fantastic work. This young gal has a team of women that will get you placed and has that support that's dearly needed in those first couple days.
And how many women are in a house?
I've seen up to 8, and they actually have a storage place so you can bring some stuff that you have accumulated, but they're in regular neighborhoods. You just would not even know that home is there for those women. I'm telling you, go on the website, you'll see the homes and you'll go, oh my God, since this house came in, look at our neighborhood has gone up in value, because they are just there to give you the best look, the best first look, and make sure the women are safe, but also to give them a happy and safe home.
Okay, great. Thank you. I can't remember, is Amelia on? No, I didn't think so. Okay, Jerry.
I'm gonna talk to the Juno, see what come up with some idea. But the next Thursday, the City of Irvine, the Senior Citizen Council meeting, I also can talk to the community service, see if they have somebody can have a talking on the next, have some topic on the housing and the transportation. So we'll get back with you. So maybe I can ask Juno, see what his idea. Okay.
Great, thank you. Gene, did you have any other comments?
Yes, just to say that Denise was right. I just checked with my contact. It is May 12th. They're going to be good to go. And he'll give me a name as soon as he can. We're all set there. So, Denise, you were insightful. I thought we'd had that discussion before that we had to swap. So, you're right. And it's that long-term memory, you know, it just kind of fades, which is why I'm on this call.
None of us can relate.
Well, that's what I like about this group, you know. It's they can't relate, so I it helps me. I want to be as strong and vibrant of each of you are at your tender age.
Yeah, every day I have an issue with trying to remember something. So that's,
you know, the sad thing is I'm probably older than, I'm going to say 99% of the people on this call. Juno may give me a run, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Elizabeth, we may be close. Elizabeth, closer than you think. I just look good.
Elizabeth is being honest. She just raised her hand. I think she might beat you.
Well, I don't know, Elizabeth.
She's not saying anything. She's waving her hand.
I'm just well preserved. That's the bottom line.
But I really enjoy being old. I think it's great.
I used to. They call it the golden years. They had to call it the rust years. It seems like things start breaking down the older you get. That's it for me.
Parents were in their 80s and 90s. My mother was very insulted if you called her old. She said, I'm not old, I'm mature.
You know what? I got to tell you, I was just at the, you know, they had that Pro-Am senior golf tournament Saturday in Newport Beach.
Yeah,
I went. And I got to tell you, they had a veteran there. He was, I think, an Army or Air Force colonel, 100 years old, and he golfs every other day. And he was doing great. He was on the tour. He was golfing. guy looked great. I'm thinking, see, it's a matter of mind over matter. You don't mind, it don't matter. And I will tell you, you remember Clint Eastwood's philosophy, you know, don't let the old man in. Do not let the old man in. I like that.
That's a good one. I like that. Don't let the old man in. That's what Clint Eastwood said.
Yep. He said, they asked him, Clint, how are you going so strong and look so good at your age? He goes, every day, I don't let the old man in. I thought, that's pretty cool.
I heard these were the wonder years. I wonder where my glasses are. I wonder where my teeth are.
Well, that too. Yeah, are. There's a lot to be said. You know, we got this fountain of wisdom and no one to share it with because no one wants to listen. The young people already know it all. So it's like, wow. I never thought I'd get here and hear myself say that. Remember, I used to tell my mom, yeah, right. You know what? You guys can't relate. Well, she got her ultimate revenge.
I feel
revenge,
the same
right?
way. When I tell people my age, I turn around and go, who's talking? I'm not that age. I can't be.
Oh, okay. I say that quite a bit. Yes.
All right. That's it for you, Gene?
That's it for me. More than enough.
Okay. Is Carol here? Oh, Juno, I missed you, Juno. I forgot you. Juno, why don't you go next? You have to unmute yourself, Juno.
Hey, you're Juno. Muted, Juno.
Juno, he's talking.
You're muted. You sound good, but we can't hear you.
Juno, can you unmute?
Juno, you got to unmute. Yeah, he's definitely older than me.
How about now? You said, can you hear me okay?
There you go.
I can hear you now. So we're doing the roundtable, comments, questions, and then asking for speakers, primarily transportation.
I do not know it is appropriate to say this, but the community, Asian community, especially the Korean community, we are connected to overseas. The economic situation in America is changing, but the economic situation overseas, I guess, is getting worse because of the world situations and the oil crisis, all the prices going up, and especially the food products coming from the overseas are getting really expensive, and the seniors are feeling the pressure. They are starting to feel the pressure, and the some of the family members overseas who were supporting the seniors in the Orange County because of the trade situations, especially some of the people who are doing the business with Russia, they're not getting paid in American dollar what they shipped for sales. They are threatening to pay in Russian money, which is about the 90% devalued. So the company is collapsing it. So it is a situation too big to explain what's happening, but it's a rapid changing in economic situation in America and then overseas that has a great effect on the seniors living in Orange County. So that's it.
Anything for speakers?
As Jerry said, we'll talk about that. But say the fact that the most of the Asian peoples they're not good in speaking English at all, so they hesitate to make presentations. And yeah, but the yeah, we'll try. But our especially my objective here as a committee member, I learn what I hear, and so that I can go back to my community and try to help them in a realistic way. That's my objective.
Okay, thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
I have Cynthia. A question, Sandy.
Oh, sorry, please go ahead.
Yeah, Juno, is your community suffering with a food deficiency?
I got to echo you. I cannot hear what you're saying. What was the question again?
Does your community suffer from food deficiency? Do they have enough food?
Yes or no. As I said before, the older seniors, they don't want to protect their identity. They don't want to know. They don't want to announce they are having problems. So they come to me in private. Hey, but then I don't say anything who is having the problem. But I go back to my connections, my people, my through the church. I get the food, and then I give it to them. It's very delicate situations to run the community. Yeah,
I understand. But is your community at least participating in Meals on Wheels OC?
Yes, yes, and no. Yes and no. It's the Koreans are very proud people, and they didn't want to be known having difficulties. But then I have to deal with the real situation so that we can help. That's the extent of my activity.
Okay, because I just want to make sure I can send you some food resources.
Yes, I have connections with the senior centers. I know the people. I can handle the situation if somebody really, really need the food to eat.
Okay. Thank you.
Resources, I'll send them anyway, Denise. If you've got resources, if you want to give contact and just tell Habit if he needs it.
I didn't hear what you said.
Okay. I said Denise should go ahead and send you the written contact information, and then you'll have it if you need it. She's not going to send you food. She's going to send you the contact information.
No, I have the contacts. I know what to do.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Denise. Cynthia, are you still on?
Cynthia had to go, I believe. She left the message on the group chat.
Okay. Did she have anything she wanted to add or comment on?
She said that she will. She said that she will be following up with great info for the senior liaison outreach, and she'll be in touch.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Did I catch everyone? Did I miss anybody?
Ben.
Vince with Office on Aging, sorry. Oh. So we don't, sorry. And there are no public comments.
That's right, you're the new face in town.
Yes, he works directly with me, and he covers, I've asked him to cover, when on the days that, I'm running late, and it's just a really good learning experience for him as well. So thank you for welcoming him to the group.
And he did a great job. Thank you very much. Do you have any other comments that you need?
I don't think I have anything to bring up right now. If anything does occur, I cannot bring up in the next meeting.
Okay. So unless there's any other comments or questions, our next meeting will be April 14th at 9:30 a.m. like normal. And Denise is getting the speaker for us.
And someone wrote here, Denise, can you cover the FRAN, F-R-A-N program?
Yeah, that was Helen, because we had originally kind of powwowed with a plan that Anaheim has, which is like a little golf cart that goes through downtown Anaheim, picking up seniors and other people and taking them to food courts and places like that. But after doing much research, the city reported that that was money given specifically to Anaheim for their transportation project, and that not all cities would qualify. So I didn't want to present it if we're talking about the whole county. So yeah, thank you.
And Denise, it's a good point, Elizabeth. Denise and I did talk about the golf carts. At this point, we can't quite figure out a way to do a presentation on, because Denise pointed out each city makes their own rules about the golf carts. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to go to somebody, have a golf cart presentation, and then have them try to sell us golf carts.
It's not relevant,
we haven't
right.
quite figured that out yet.
But you know,
we'll have to work on that. So if anyone,
I think John Pointer would be able to let us know if it's even in the pipeline, and then let the state decide that they can offer it to the cities, and then they will decide on the money given if they want to pursue it. Same with how they had the scooters.
Right.
And everybody knows what a mess that was. So, yeah.
Well, that's
good. That's a good idea for a proposal, for a CSL proposal.
Sure. So if you can remember, Denise, let's bring that up to John and make sure we at least put the idea in there and see if there's anything we can do with that. Very good.
Yes,
very
sure. Good. Yeah. And I liked what Helen had to say about different places that there is help for seniors, but maybe not the transportation.
Yes.
And that's where I think we should have our flyers for senior wheels or any kind of transportation, OC access, you know, maybe even FRAN, maybe even, what's the other one, Jeanette?
Senior mobility program, maybe?
Yes, right there in their offices, so they can take one and go, well, I can make the next appointment as long as I know I have this transportation. So many people rely on friends and family, and you know, after a while that just gets so taxing on them. But I know Abrazar, that's the one.
Yeah, SMEMT, the non-emergency medical transportation as well.
Yes, but I'm saying that any plethora of information on a fact sheet from under the Office of Aging is what's necessary. So many people have to get on the phone and figure this out. How am I going to get my husband back home from this or that hospital? It's crazy. I remember having to get my dad back from San Diego. So it's expensive. If you know these resources, it's great.
So are you saying, Denise, we should have a one-page sheet with all the possibilities of transportation?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I met a man who is a vet, and he said he's starting his own transportation company, but he says, of course, it's very expensive, but he says, I do it for vets only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe the state could sponsor him. I don't know. I'm just saying we really need to drum up a lot more opportunities as people get older.
I agree. Maybe we should think about that. Maybe there should be a way that we have a one-page sheet with all the possibilities of transportation.
Yeah, and I think so.
And then maybe leave that at the senior centers or something.
Yes, or even that barcode. What is it, a bar? Scan this code and get all these resources, because usually an older person is accompanied by someone else. All you do is scan it, take it home, and then be able to read it. It's all possibilities.
Yes, good point. All right, anything else from anyone?
Charlene's had her hand up for ages. Oh,
sorry, Charlene, I didn't see you.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to acknowledge you, Denise. You inspired me at the previous meeting about Fran, and my husband and I spent a week in, well, 4 days in San Diego last month and took Fred. And Fred is the free ride everywhere downtown. And so we left our car in one place and we would just get on our phone and call Fred. I mean, he didn't come, you know, as quickly as an Uber, but we never had to pay a dime for transportation. And it was so, and that's a collaboration with the city and developers. Yes. It's a really, really, you just have to be bold enough to say, yeah, we'll take alternative transportation. So it's really fun. And thank you very much, Denise, because I just got my, I went to the senior center and signed up and got my senior free taxi card. So, and so I'm going to use it so that I could at least speak knowledgeably about how it works. And I think that we should be motivated to really, as a committee, as a council, to be on the front line and know what these are and how they work. So thank you, Denise, because you've inspired me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I put in a lot of years on the city council, but I tell you, I immersed myself in everything and anything I could possibly get into. So don't call me trouble. But I'm glad I'm helpful. How's that?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good point, Charlene. Anyone else before we head off? Mm-mm. Okay, so the next meeting I mentioned is April 14th, and then we need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Why do we need a motion to?
Yeah, really.
I don't know.
That's nonsense.
Okay. So see you all tomorrow.
Everyone's agreed we should adjourn until most of us come home.
Yeah, so move, Sandy.
Okay, all right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you do. It was a very good meeting. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Good meeting, Sandy.
Bye.
Nice.
Thank you.